teared up because it was that funny.
Oh, okay. You love Sarah Silverman, man.
I didn't know she was 40.
No, only because the only in that interview.
She's 40.
Read the interview and you'll be like, wow, that's fucking
funny. I had no idea.
But you'll have to do it when you're done listening to this podcast.
Take that, B-Wo.
Welcome, everybody, to week 11 of the Octavarius podcast. We got another great letter this week. This week from...
Well, before you do that, why don't we go around the room?
Oh, yeah. We should probably say who's in on this fine podcast. We're going to start over there with you, Castelvi.
I'm Castelvi.
Nicholas James Makula.
Keith is here.
Hi. Hey. I'm LP.
Mark.
Lauren.
And B-Wo is here.
Yay!
Hey, everybody. Almost every week.
All right, so it's not really so that excited, much of a Mark. Good thing.
Nicholas James.
And also here, in spirit, is Amy Sarah from Park Ridge, Illinois, who writes in, hey guys, I was really curious who your inspirations are, both comic and otherwise. Who inspired you, how, and why? Well, thank you, Amy. That's a really...
Thanks, Amy.
There's no salutation at the end of the letter? That's weird.
Yeah.
It said, Amy, peace, homies.
Oh, peace, homies. That's what
she says. From Park Ridge. There's your answer.
That's what she says.
Hillary Clinton's from Park Ridge.
That she seems says that suspect. Too.
Yeah.
You know, Al Gore is from Carthage, Tennessee.
I have so many.
Al Gore's from Carthage? I didn't know that.
Carthage, Tennessee. He's been in my church for a Christmas service with Secret Service there.
Get the fuck out.
Marlon Brando is from Liberty.
So you saw. Wait.
I'm from LaGrange.
Wait. So Al Gore was at your church?
Yes.
On Christmas?
Yes. His mother is still there.
What year was this?
I think it was during the first. Term. I don't remember. I was a little boy.
Oh, you were a little boy.
I was a little boy. It was in his first time as vice president, so it was a while ago.
I was only asking because I was wondering if it was like a stunt or something, like a campaign stunt. But really, he was just at church.
Yeah, it was just at church with his mom.
How fun.
Yeah, holy and the Secret Service were there.
Tipper there? His wife?
I guess. I think so. I didn't really know who Tipper was. I was just a little boy. I didn't know much about politics other than... I didn't even realize how interesting it would be to currently have the vice president be from your town and come by every so often.
That's so wild.
That didn't strike me as cool. It's like, oh, Al Gore's here again.
I mean, especially a town like Carthage. It's not like a big town.
It's also not a liberal town.
Yeah.
It's
Al Gore isn't... I wouldn't say Al Gore is that liberal of a guy.
Mm.
A lot of conservatives freak out about Al Gore because of his environment stuff.
Yeah.
But outside of Al Gore's stance on the environment, he's not that liberal. And neither was Clinton.
Right.
They were pretty hawkish fellas.
I think I touched his hand.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Wow,
I was there
cool.
when Bill Clinton talked once there, too, I think.
Get the fuck out. Yeah. You saw Bill Clinton speak?
Yeah, I was a little boy, though. I don't remember very
How
well.
Did you never tell me about this? I'm so amazed.
It didn't strike me as important
you
at
know,
the time.
I,
so it
speaking,
didn't say
I still don't care.
Speaking of inspirations, as a boy growing up, I did three reports on Bill Clinton. I did one in elementary school, I did one in middle school, and I did another in high school.
How much of the content was similar?
Yeah.
There were overlapping basic content, but I graduated in my reading, you know, and I got to much more interesting.
The first sentence always, though, is the one he wrote in elementary school, which is, "We have a president."
Wait, so which ones were after Monica Lewinsky?
Well, middle school and high school were after Monica Lewinsky.
Did it change your approach or?
No, not at all, because I never felt that his personal life meant anything besides what it did to make him eventually become president. And I also, I was just very taken with him and the way that he would relate to people. I still to this day feel like when Bill Clinton explains anything, like I'm you know, I like Barack Obama fine, you know, he's a nice president and all, but when Barack was trying to explain you know, the bailouts,
it's a dice game,
and the economic situation.
Oh boy, you know, I listened to you, B-Well.
A year ago,
we all are.
It didn't make sense to me. It just was, it was bunk. But when Bill Clinton went on The Daily Show, and then I saw him again on Larry King talking about the economy, it made me feel okay, and it made me feel safe, and I felt like I had a better understanding about my country's government, and it made me want to get involved.
Brian, it's going to
be
okay.
You're a great advertisement for politics, I think.
I said not too long ago, a few days ago, I just said that BWO is a walking seller.
Yes.
Like, the way BWO talks, he just sells you everything.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, a wine cellar. I'm like, that's mean to say.
Well, I, you know, the things, if you ask it's me about racist. Something I like, I like it, you know. And I highly consider the things that I prefer. I put a lot of thought into it. And I'm gonna let you know what I like. If you care, if you ask me, I'll tell you.
Brian.
And I'll tell you why.
I've got a question. Perhaps you can sell me on this.
Shoot.
Let's say we are in the grocery store, the Walmart at ISU, and you are trying to sell me on the kind of meat I should buy. I don't know if you ever remember doing this in college.
I remember.
I don't know if you could tell me the kind of, like, lunch meat or steak, you know, what should I get? Let's pretend. I'm just curious, because I usually just went.
Well, in our economic situation, Nick, at the time, we did not have very much money. Mm. So we would look for the cuts of meat that were good cuts, but maybe went bad in the next day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would cook them, we would buy them at a severely discounted rate, and either cook them that day or freeze them that day, and they would be good. And we would be able to eat steak in college when we had no reasonable way to afford eating steak. And so I said to Nick in college, if you buy meat that is discounted and will go bad tomorrow. That doesn't mean just buy any old fucking piece of
meat.
That's
where we're wrong.
We looked at the meat, and you'd make sure that it wasn't brown or anything. I mean, you make sure that it still looks the way it's supposed to look.
Uh-huh.
But if it goes bad tomorrow, why not buy it? It's still good. It's still
meat.
Until
tomorrow.
Do you remember your
so cook it tonight. Or freeze it tonight.
I'm going to the dance tonight.
Well, then don't buy that.
Then you
meat.
Shouldn't be buying steak.
Yeah, then you shouldn't be buying it. Then you shouldn't be buying it. But if you have the opportunity, there's no reason not to jump on it.
So does freezing anything or particularly meat keep
here we go.
Hey, remember when we had a letter or a question?
Yeah. Go ahead, Lauren. I'm interested.
We're talking
my
about
inspiration.
This.
Now,
let's just talk about
Sub-Zero
cooking.
Okay. Was my inspiration.
Here's my thing. You can't freeze something forever and expect it to
yeah,
stay
you can.
The same.
Walt Disney
yeah, you can.
Is still frozen to this day.
You know, you,
that's one of the things you can
Lauren,
do forever.
Lauren, you know, you're right. You should not freeze certain meats, you know, over...
Woolly mammoth meat.
You know, if it's been in your freezer for months and it's been frozen, it will dry out.
Yeah.
So...
And freezer burn, aren't you supposed to eat it if it has all the
you can
ice
wash
on?
It off.
It's okay if there's freezer burn on it, but, you know,
it's
if,
not
it's
like
get,
it's poison.
If it's got
yeah.
freezer burn, it's just not going to be as good.
Freezer burn, yeah. no.
That's
see,
okay.
My grandma...
So you know what you do, Lauren? If your meat is that way, nice. What you want to do is maybe you'll cut it up and put it in the stew or something, or put it in a nice soup.
Crock
it's still good.
Or in a, like a soda. You know, still has ice cubes. I got some meat cubes. You just finished that soda real quick.
I think
quick.
You're finally on to something, yeah.
See, my grandma freezes
sure
everything. Even
that.
Chips, crackers, it's does really
she,
strange.
Does,
what?
She freezes her dead pets?
I don't think freezing chips is a good idea.
Well, all right, I started this. I'm going to end it.
Yeah.
All right. So I was very inspired as a young man.
By Bill Clinton?
Well,
Arsenio Hall.
I
have one last
hold
Bill Clinton.
It, Nick. Hold
oh, yeah, go
before
ahead.
We leave Bill Clinton, when I was young and I heard that Bill Clinton was caught for an oral sex scandal,
yeah.
My only experience with the word oral sex was my understanding was oral is talking.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just talking sex. So like Bill Clinton went up to Monica Lewinsky, he's like, we're having sex right
like
now.
Like roll like Dungeons and Dragons?
And I'm gonna put my thing into you.
So he was talking
and
dirty.
And that's why he was getting impeached. He was just talking dirty like on the phone or something. So I thought that's like, that was the big issue. I'm like, that's not so bad.
That's still inappropriate even if that
yeah,
that
but
happened.
It's not
yeah,
so
but
bad. But of course it wasn't that.
Okay.
Well, it was...
You come into a you come on upon a female underling.
And
she stops and gives you a wink. What do you do?
Remember, you have
well,
a plus two charisma.
I'm going to use my diplomacy skill to seduce her.
Your kill?
Skill.
Oh.
Diplomacy kill?
I don't have a high pronunciation. All right,
but that's just what I wanted to let everybody know. I don't know if anyone out there thought the same thing when they were young, because I was in the end of elementary or somewhere in middle school.
I always thought it was funny that oral and aural sound really similar.
What is aural? Like an aura?
No, like your ear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Audio. So if you have aural sex.
That's your ear sex?
That's way more grounds for not being president anymore. Once it goes in an ear, it's not cool.
If it's consensual.
Shin-shi.
Okay, so we can move on now.
So, my main inspiration for a lot of comedy, and I think a lot of you fellas might be on the same page with me on this fella. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm guessing he is.
Just say
is Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I watched the shit out of Ghostbusters as a young boy, and seeing the little things that Bill Murray did to add to his character Peter Venkman in that movie, and to make that movie as fun as it was, and all those Ghostbusters guys, you know, Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson. And even Rick Moranis,
yes.
Who we've talked about in the past.
And the
night terror of Scott Daniels.
Yeah.
I mean, to just you know, that group of folks to band together and make a film about people that didn't really know what they were doing but were thrust in a situation where they had to be professional. Really
Was that
inspired.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
There's also ghosts in that film.
Yeah. But
I would say that's the main crux.
Until they got
but
it's not about
but
that.
The real struggle is what the humans are dealing with there. And like they you can see when they catch the first when they catch Slimer in that hotel in the dining room, right?
The Sedgwick.
In the Sedgwick. The manager of the Sedgwick talks to them and, you know, says, you know, okay, thank you so much, and then they go to bill him. As they're billing him, Bill Murray is talking to the manager, and Harold Ramis is standing there, and Bill Murray is always looking at Harold Ramis with his eyes, but facing the manager. And as he's looking at Harold Ramis, Harold Ramis is looking at the manager, and Bill Murray is talking about the pricing for what it costs for the Ghostbusters to come catch the ghost and trap it. So they said, your service fees in general, and as they're doing it, Harold Ramis wipes four fingers just across his cheek, like very casually. He says, that'll come to about $4,000, and we have a special this month on trapping and storage of the beast, which will come to, and Harold Ramis wipes one finger on his cheek. He goes, that'll be $1,000, so that'll be your special discount this month. And the manager goes, $5,000, I won't pay it. And so then he said, oh, well, we can just put that right back in.
No, we should just watch the movie.
No, I'm just saying, that scene and the way that those fellas played that, I thought, my God, this is so funny. This is what I want to do. And I thought that when I was just a little boy.
I want to overcharge.
I even wrote in a paper, and my mother still has this paper in fourth grade that I wanted to become a comedian because it was either a comedian or the president of the United States. And I
wrote that too.
And I listed those two gentlemen, Bill Murray and Bill Clinton, as my inspiration for why. Yeah. And I had a great little essay on it. And, did he inspire you guys, or am I alone on
Bill? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch
but
him.
Not I didn't
when he was little, I really, really like him. I think he's one of the funniest people there is. But I didn't watch him a lot when I was little. I just wasn't exposed to it. It's just not what I was shown.
My parents were really into Saturday Night Live. They still are. And so,
I got so
as
tired.
It was really...
Child.
They would do like SNL quotes with me as a baby. Like, one of the first things they did with me was like kind of... make me shake a little bit and go like, I'm a wild and crazy guy. So as a toddler, I'd be like, I'm a wild and crazy guy. So it was funny
cute.
Then.
Yeah. Too cute.
And so that was what I was raised on. So yeah, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, a lot of those guys really influenced John Belushi.
Of course.
They were big on me as a kid.
I would say that my inspiration, and I definitely agree, Bill Murray is one of the funniest, most human performers and movies.
Lots of performers are human, except for
In his work ethic, in his characterization.
He can still play basketball.
His characters are vulnerable. And also fun.
Too. You know, he's flirting with Sigourney Weaver. He has, you know, he's stubborn with it. He plays with
Who,
that.
Air Bud? Air Bud didn't flirt with Sigourney.
Yes, Air Bud did. You have not seen the deleted scene.
You fool.
I would say my inspiration, though, is something I used to always watch with my dad, which my mom hated when we watched it, was the Three Stooges. They were always on...
Oh, sweet.
Like, I forgot which channel it was on, like, at 9 o'clock.
You watched it on WPWR Power 50.
That's right, at, like, 9:30 at night.
That's what everyone in Chicago watched him on. Mm-hmm.
And I would just stay up the entire night watching it with my dad, and I would run around the house, this is, like, when I was, like, 6 or 7, pretending I was a Three Stooges guy, and I would, you know...
Which one were you?
I liked... You're gonna hate me for this one.
I hate you.
Don't say Shemp.
Say it, Nick.
I liked Shemp a lot.
Really?
Wow. I never knew that about you.
I liked Shemp a lot because he...
You can't find anyone who likes Shemp.
I know.
Nobody
says Shemp. I've never heard anyone say Shemp.
I mean, I'll be honest. I hated
like Mikula either, so...
Well, at least Shemp and I like each other. But yeah, and I would run around the house...
Is Shemp Howard still alive?
No, they're all dead. No. They're all...
He was a younger one out.
Yeah.
No.
I think there was
no chance.
Well, I would love to tell me why you love Shemp.
Yeah.
Over Curly.
Yes.
I liked Curly.
He's a poor man's Curly.
What I like about Shemp is his facial reactions. The way he would like frown his face, you know, and the way he would just use his face a lot. It was just something I find myself doing a lot when I'm bored at work. Is I just make
you
weird...
just do that in life though.
I do that in life. Like I like making facial.
You like Jim Carrey then?
I do, yeah. But I mean, I grew up like on the Three Stooges. I didn't like Jim. I did not like the mask that much. I'll be honest.
What's wrong with
really?
You?
Really, I thought you would be.
I love Ace Ventura.
The mask.
I love the mask.
Jim Carrey.
You know what I was watching today? Liar, liar.
I'd like him in that. Yes, I love him in Liar.
That is a ridiculous kangaroo court that they're in. It's just, it's just out of control. It's like, there's like, no one says order in the court when Jim Carrey's just flailing about like a madman.
Yeah, he's like a marionette being operated by a demon. He just can't operate himself at all.
What a great physical performance, too. It's
miraculous. It looks like he's not in control of himself.
How could we not have been influenced by Jim Carrey, too? I'm sure Jim Carrey influenced us all.
In Ace Ventura 2, when he pops out of the rhino, is I think one of the funniest things. I will still cry from laughing when I see that scene.
Stuff on In Living Color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually never allowed to watch In Living Color.
Get the fuck out.
My mom would let me watch... my mom would let me watch Saturday Night Live sometimes.
Wow.
She would let me watch the 80s episodes that we had on tape.
With Dana Carvey and John Lovitz?
Yeah, like some of the older ones like Eddie Murphy. Like Al Franken and like some of those people.
My aunt dated Al Franken.
What? Your aunt dated Al Franken?
Wait, what?
Yes.
You have the right Al Franken.
Your aunt had Al Franken at one point in her life inside of her?
At least he put his finger in her mouth.
Is this the aunt that hit on Matt Castelvi backstage?
No, just to get some kind of teeth or something.
Or his tongue in her mouth. Lord. Like he was inside of your aunt.
She was a stand-up comedian in California in LA for a while.
Okay. But that was Al Franken.
She somehow met him and...
Get it.
Oh yeah, and she somehow
Senator
met
Al
him
Franken.
And dated him for a little while.
Lauren, is this the same aunt that hit on Matt Castelvi backstage in the Corn Conservatory?
This is the same aunt.
Look at you, Castelvi. Matt Castelvi.
You could be in the same place where Al Franken was.
I could have fucked Al Franken by the transit.
Or at least fucked his finger.
Anyways, go on, LP.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, I was just never allowed. I wasn't allowed to watch In Living Color. Married with Children and the
Past. I wasn't allowed to watch Married with Children.
No, not the past. Not the past. It was
I couldn't do it.
John Leguizamo's sketch show. Do you remember what it was called? House of Buggin'. That's what it was.
You know,
man,
I never saw House of Buggin'.
House of Buggin'. And I wanted to watch House of Buggin' so bad because I loved the
My father always allowed me on Fox on Sunday nights. We would be able to watch Married with Children, Simpsons. Now, my mother disapproved, but we would watch Martin. If you watch it,
Martin!
Oh, my mom didn't care if I watched Martin.
I watched, I loved Chris Elliott's show, Get a Life. Chris Elliott's show, Get a Life, was awesome. I was telling my girlfriend Amy about it the other day. On Get a Life, they even did one time. They had a guy, I forget how, and I need to get the DVD set. I know it's on DVD. A guy gets his head either cut off or whacked off, and out of his neck is a spout of just blood, just spouting out. And then they play soccer with the guy's head.
Oh.
And the guy's head is still conscious, and he's like, hey, quit it. Quit it.
Ow! My ouchie!
And as a child, just seeing that was so funny to me, because it was just so not how it's supposed to be. And it's so not okay, but there were all these adults doing these things. And and a lot of my life, I feel like, has it eventually mirrored this. Like, he had a best friend.
Wait,
he had a let me get there. Okay. He had a best friend named Miles. Miles had a tricked out NES system in his master bedroom that the children were not allowed to play with. He had the power glove, he had the arcade pad, he had the every fucking thing you could have for your NES. And him and Chris would go upstairs and play NES in the master bedroom while his wife was like, Miles, please. And she wanted him to do, like, stuff a husband should do. But they were totally playing Nintendo. And I feel like a lot of that is what I do now.
Yeah.
And we all do it.
No.
They kind of... fuck you, I've been to your house.
But, yeah, like, that's why I don't really care about... Like, Ace Ventura, when I saw it, I couldn't believe I was watching, like, what was on screen.
Yeah.
I just didn't know people could be that funny.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know that... I was so surprised because I didn't know anything about him from In Living Color.
They do the reruns on BET still, so you can check them for enough, free.
I
don't care
enough, man. See, my parents didn't let me watch Jim Carrey movies when I was little. I think they just didn't want to watch them. It's not their cup of tea. So, like, I just didn't. So I only saw trailers, and trailers made it look like... And because my parents gave it a negative outlook, it looked like he was just the most annoying guy in the world. Like,
well, yeah.
This guy looks obnoxious! Which is a word I probably learned the day before. So I had to use it a lot. But then, you know, I don't even think I watched many Jim Carrey movies, so maybe even 8 or 9 years ago. More like 5 or 6 years ago, I started watching Jim Carrey movies. I'm like, these aren't bad at all. These are funny. Wow. This is why people like these. How funny this is. Look how silly he is.
I think Ace Ventura, the first one, was probably the first big, like, quoted movie.
I don't even think I've seen it.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
You should watch it.
Yeah,
it's very good.
It's very good.
It was the first, like you know, there was, like, Anchorman. Everyone would just, there'd be, like, an Anchorman quote for every situation. Mm-hmm. Zoolander was kind of like that. Austin Powers, especially.
I would say Zoolander was like that.
Oh, yeah, I had a bunch of Zoolander ones.
With my friends.
It was amongst, like, assholes.
Unfortunately, it was.
Not really.
Like, they
raped. I love Zoolander, but it wasn't popular. No one really
liked
it.
You know, it wasn't popular until it went to DVD.
I don't think so.
People loved it.
Yeah, people loved it.
I don't get it, because I saw it, and I was like,
I like it.
I like it. It's okay. They're breakdance fighting. That's funny.
I love that scene.
You know, it's one of those movies. Yeah, that's funny enough.
Ben Stiller can't do it for me.
I hate Ben Stiller.
Films before that, though, like...
Happy Gilmore.
Caddyshack, dude.
Happy Gilmore was also quoted a lot.
I didn't know anybody that had seen Caddyshack.
Well, because you were too young, man.
But that's what I'm saying. In my experience, like, when I was old enough to watch my own movies and pick my own dumb quotable movies,
yeah.
Ace Ventura, I think, was the first one, maybe closely followed by Austin Powers.
Well, what about, like, Star Wars? Everybody quoted
Star
Wars.
Well, you can't say, like...
It's not as funny as Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
You can't do salacious.
Although it has...
I mean, there are still books written on Caddyshack quotes and philosophy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Caddyshack is fucking huge.
Yeah, there was that SNL skit about it. That's great.
Yeah, it's that big. It's kind of ridiculous.
I haven't seen it all the way through.
Really?
I've seen it enough, and I live in pop culture enough to know what it is.
I own it, and if you ever want to watch it, it's Caddyshack also. I mean, because you look... And as I got older, I learned to appreciate... some of the other guys that weren't like Bill Murray and Rodney Dangerfield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can look at stuff that Ted Knight did in that. Ted Knight's a genius in that movie.
So,
Ted Knight's the bad guy.
Oh, he's okay, that's who that is.
And,
oh, yeah.
And this, you know, you'll have nothing and like it. You know, and the stuff that Ted Knight does to raise the stakes in that movie are just awesome.
Mikula, you were saying.
Oh, other quotable.
Shemp.
Oh, we're back to Shemp.
Inspirations, oh. Yeah.
Oh, no, that was pretty much just like I...
Shemp, that Shemp's your only one?
Well, if you notice this, when I think about the Three Stooges in general, including... Exactly, is that it's just more... You know, it wasn't so much the words, it was just like the sounds they made I found hilarious.
You like sounds?
I know, caca, blah, you know, and stuff like that. Which I...
Those are perfect examples.
Exactly, like I find sounds to be hilarious.
Sounds are pretty funny.
And that's what I love, and that's why I love the Three Stooges, is just them running around, being hyper. And if you guys know me, I'm incredibly hyper, drink a lot of coffee and things like that. Then
you gotta stop drinking coffee.
I love drinking coffee.
Oh my God! It's darn you bring it up so often. I think that you're silently, or not silently, but just having a cry for help, being like, "Help me!" Oh God!
Not true.
For those of you who couldn't see, he made a little noise that did a squid face at me.
Well,
it was very confusing.
If you aren't going to elaborate more on who influenced you, I'll talk about who influenced me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Please do.
I think the person I listened to the most, comedy wise, was actually Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, we were talking about this before, though.
Before we started. Weird Al. it's funny because I heard about him. My friend had like the Running with Scissors CDs. Really when I started listening.
Really, that was his like after he
Bad Hair Day.
No, it was the one before that. Someone had, and I heard that.
So you heard Bad Hair Day after Running with Scissors?
No, I heard Bad Hair Day. Some of the Bad Hair Day. I didn't hear the whole album. I didn't have it. But I heard a couple songs, and then my neighbor got it.
I got it.
Yeah, maybe I'll take it.
Kicks ass.
Well, I got it. So I got the Running with Scissors album after my friend had it, and then I started buying other albums, all his old stuff, because they were cheap at CD stores. They were like $5. I'm like, well, this is a Weird Al Yankovic CD I can afford. But because of that, I didn't get any of the jokes, because they were all 80s references, and there were 80s songs being parodied, and I'm like, I don't get it. But I still just listened to it and figured out why each one was funny eventually. Some of that probably very much influences the fact that I do music and write comedic songs, except I don't really care for parodies anymore. I think parodies are too simple, that they don't take a lot
of... Weird Al.
See, that's why you're influenced by him, because you take what he did to the next level.
Yeah, Weird Al totally made me look even outside of just him to other parody artists and find so many great
people. Dr. Demento.
Show.
I used to wake up so early just to try to catch that on the radio.
God. I didn't care enough.
I did write like a couple parody songs.
And Dr. Demento was kind of corny.
I wrote songs.
What the fuck is that?
What the hell are you doing?
I want to finish my story.
Okay, you got it all. Settle down, dude.
We're
all here. We all got something to say.
I know.
Except for Makula.
I just want to be able to finish a train of thought before we jump to 4 yards away from it. Right. I wrote, started writing parody songs in junior high, and then I realized that parody songs are so easy to write because I was able to write them in junior high that I wanted to do other stuff. And then I started looking out into like a lot more SNL stuff. But SNL didn't have as many songs, really. Blues Brothers, I loved the movie Blues Brothers. I went crazy for how funny that was. And I think that's why I like funny music that sounds real.
Yeah.
Because all that music sounds real. They're all like the SNL band, so they're all real, real, real good. Yeah. And all the music is just super fun. It's not the lyrics all the time. It's just the situation and how well they're committing to it, which is why Stand By Your Man is just so funny. It's because they commit to it and make it sound still pretty good for them. It starts out sounding like it's not going to be good, but it actually does sound good. So I really like... Blues Brothers.
I didn't see that until like 6 years ago.
Oh yeah?
They had great choreography too.
They had great choreography. I want way better choreography for stuff I do with Tins. I want to have real silly dancing.
My brother has a DVD and I need to find it.
Mark does?
Because I never see him. Yeah. But he has a DVD of the Blues Brothers opening for the Grateful Dead.
Really?
How fun would that be?
Awesome.
Was he at that concert?
God, yeah.
I believe he would be.
My brother would high enough. Yeah, he
I'd open for Hannah Montana. But I would love that. Like, that would be really
funny. Because that's what she's looking for.
I know she's not looking for it. That's why I want to do it.
But you know, like, how fun would that be for us to open for a rock group and doing our shtick? I would love to do that. I know.
I don't know if they.
I know
like
we
it.
Talked about that. Like we always wanted to play like South by Southwest or Bonnaroo.
If anybody knows any of the organizers of Bonnaroo or South by Southwest, we will write and choreograph the funniest songs.
Well, I mean, look, you are a comedy. We'll do anything. Bonnaroo love to do.
We'll
Bonnaroo.
Do anything. We'll suck your dick.
Bonnaroo has a
please let us come to you.
We'll suck your dick. Sir or madam.
Bonnaroo has a comedy tent.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Bonnaroo has a comedy tent. That's where Conan O'Brien's performing at Bonnaroo.
Oh, that's right.
Tent. Aziz Ansari's performed this year, anyway. But yeah, they have a comedy tent. We could totally have something like that.
Have you guys, Keith said this and it reminded me of something. Have you guys ever repeated a joke not knowing what it meant or if it had any kind of sexual meaning to it to your parents when you were like six?
Yeah, dude, I totally
and you get
did.
The weirdest reaction.
I thought it was just a simple joke, but it was a dirty joke.
And you get yelled at and you have no idea why you're in trouble.
It's not your fault.
What joke did you repeat?
It was from Christmas Vacation when Randy Quaid, they're looking through throwing out the Christmas tree and he's like, hey, look at that. Fried pussy. And I said that when I was like when I was 6 or 7 in third grade,
you were in third grade, then you were like
eight or nine. Okay, sure. and we were celebrating like the holiday, the Christmas.
Oh, younger than that, man.
And I decided, and I was like, oh, I want to say something funny. And my dad's like, go for it, Nick. And I said, you know,
Nick. Everyone, listen up.
Listen up, fried pussy. And it was just...
Wait, that was the joke?
No, I mean, I didn't just say fried pussy. Okay. I mean, I said the...
When you're a kid... Normally when people act things out, they do it how it happened. So that's why we got
but
confused.
But not some kids, I mean, they're stupid. They don't get it.
How often, though, have we, like, growing up, tried out jokes and tried out things, and it was all, like, in the worst context, and it just didn't... work at
all. Oh yeah, man. You learn through trial and error what's funny sometimes.
Can I share with you guys my saddest moment in comedy
always.
Thievery?
God, I so want to know that.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Because you're tough on people if they steal.
Oh yeah.
If you
see
someone steal a bit,
well,
you get
to
pissed.
Be fair, I am like 4 or 5. No, I got maybe 6. When was Ren and Stimpy on?
I think we were 7 or 8.
So he was.
Yeah, you're younger than me. Yeah,
I was 6, so I'm 6 at this point. Ren Stimpy, great.
Love it.
Love
it.
And Lols, Lullingham.
So dumb. It's great.
Me and my dad and my brothers all liked the show, and so it was like the one thing that we all kind of shared. It was a kid's show, but it wasn't a kid's show. My dad watched it. We all were getting the jokes.
My dad did that, too.
My dad liked it.
I had that for
me. We liked it. Anyway, so there's an episode. I don't remember. It was one of the space episodes where they go to space. There was more than one.
There were a bunch.
So don't be like,
the way you worded it did note to be referenced. The space episode where they're in space. That's what you said.
It's true.
Do you need to make a sound?
Thank
you. Right.
Anyway, so... So, there's a scene where they're all mutating simultaneously for no reason. I don't remember why they're all mutating. But Ren says something to Stimpy, and he's like, yeah, you got that. And then he says, aye, aye, Captain. And the screen pans over, and his face is a giant eye. And it's kind of funny. And so, we're watching this, me and my family, we're watching this. And, like, so that scene comes on. It's funny. And I immediately turn to my father, and I'm like, hey, Dad, I just thought of this great joke. So a captain of a spaceship he's with his mate, and then he says, hey, did you hear that? And then he turns and says, aye, aye, Captain, and he has a giant eye. I was dead serious.
Did he
call you out on it?
No, it was just dead silence, man. Fucking the audience was not having none of it. I think my brother, man, my older brother was
funny,
like... But my dad was like, yeah, this... Because, I mean...
You're my son.
It happened literally right after it played, though. Like, so I was like, I wasn't fooling anybody. If I had waited a little longer, probably tried with a different audience, I might have been able to pull it off. But at the time, it's just, it was a nightmare. I think of it all the time, too.
So,
because I feel so bad. I was like, what was I think? Why did I think that I could do that?
But maybe that,
that wasn't my joke at all. And I thought I could lie and say it was.
I
thought I could take credit for Ren and Stimpy.
If I did something that bad, I still wrestle with that to this day.
I do the same thing.
Those demons still haunt me.
Yeah.
So what my question is
I feel
for you,
bad
Matt,
just thinking about it, man. Ugh.
What my question is for you, what if it was your kid that blatantly stole a joke in front of you?
I would have done exactly.
Would you call him out?
No, I would have done exactly what my dad did. I'm like, yeah, it's good, son. It's good.
Aww.
I'm 6. I mean, but to be fair, I'm 6. I mean, I was trying. It was my brother who was a dick and called me out on it.
Because you don't want to, like, you want them to keep trying, you know? And it, like, I was at like a family gathering thing, and it was for Easter, and
Jew Easter?
No, it was with Robin's family.
Hey,
they went imaginary
awesome,
Jesus
okay.
did whatever he did.
But they had the the grandfather had said, you know, he didn't like hide any eggs or anything, but the kid, so he jokingly to the kids that were there was like, if you guys can find any eggs, I'll give you $50 for each egg.
It's a stupid idea.
So these kids are, like, looking around. They're, like, looking outside because at first they thought he was serious. But then, like, when they found out this wasn't a game they could win, they just started... So they went downstairs into their, like, they had a basement refrigerator or something and just got actual eggs and brought them up and were like, hey, we found eggs. Where's our $50?
Where's the $50, old man?
Talk to me. Give me the money or you get egged.
How do you deal with it, Mark?
Well, and he was like, those aren't the eggs I meant. I meant, like, plastic Easter eggs. So then they went and they found, because people had, you know.
They went to the store and bought them.
But, like, the family had, like, brought little, like, M&M eggs, you know, like.
Yeah.
So they got a bunch of those. They're like, these are plastic. And then it was like, he just kept getting trapped because these kids, like, every time he would try to stop them, would think of a new way to win. And then, like, and I was thinking about, like,
it's
if
tenacious.
I was...
Those darn kids.
Yeah, like, if I was that grandpa, like, how you... That's exactly what you want to encourage in your children. Like... In, you know, inventive
ways. Unless you're trying to just get them away from you for an extended. It sounded like you're just like, hey, go find something that's not a real,
yeah,
so you're not by me
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly.
If you're trying to get rid of them, then you know what? You deserve it.
Yeah,
because
the
parents are going to fucking find a way.
You really should.
How
should
dare you underestimate the
kids
power of
love
children.
To beat adults.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the best
yeah.
thing you can do as
but
a
like,
kid.
But, like, think about, like, when that
can you
came
imagine
yeah.
if you had $50,
like,
you got $50
you
as a kid?
If you won up
50?
Your mom or dad.
You know how much candy
you
can get for $50?
Any adult.
That's right.
But yeah, like, dude, fuck candy. Action figures, $50.
You can get like five
I have the
Wolverines.
Whole X-Men with
$50. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Wait, right. You can get five Wolverines that are $10 a piece?
No, they were like $6 back.
Well, plus
day.
Tax. If you want to, you know.
Yeah, it was like $5.99 at Walgreens for like Forge and Wolverine.
If you went to FAO Schwartz, there were more, which is how I.
The fuck would you go to FAO Schwartz?
Schwartz. Because like every like couple months, my parents would go into Chicago and I go with them, and we go to FAO Schwartz.
They'd let you buy shit at FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, I almost got the three. That it was $3,000.
Almost. Wait, you started almost.
I really was trying to beg my. I was like 10, and I. Probably $20
you
for my name.
The
life-size Han Solo frozen carbonite.
Yeah, I
carbonite.
Wanted that too.
$3,000, and to this day, if I ever get $3,000, I am buying that.
Is it
that.
Still $3,000?
Yeah.
Naku has never
Star Wars Insider. You sell it. You can buy it from Star Wars Insider.
It hasn't appreciated or depreciated in value.
No,
I have four.
Well, the people that like it,
yeah.
People that don't.
I'm barely here.
There are people like me who have $3,000 who will go on eBay and clickety click smackety whoop buy it. Okay. Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Have you ever, speaking of eggs, did you by chance ever find it funny to prank someone by passively egging a car?
How do you passively egg?
I don't know. Let's ask Mark. Yeah. How do you passively egg?
It sounds like you're hinting at something.
Well, we didn't want to get in trouble for, like, throwing eggs at someone's car. But we wanted to be, like, just a little vengeful.
Yeah.
So what you do is you take an egg and you put it, like, say they're pulled into a driveway, so they have to back out to get out of the driveway. You just put the egg under their tire.
That's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
But we would never get in trouble. Mark would never get
in trouble. Yeah, no wonder. It doesn't matter.
Here's another thing that you won't get in trouble for, you'll never get caught for, but is totally worse than egging a car. What you do, and it works if you have a dog, what you do is you find a car that you want to annihilate. And when you pick up your dog shit, you pick it up with, you know, the plastic bag, and you flip it out. What you do is you just put the shit underneath their door handle. They're gonna touch it. And you win, and they'll never know it was you.
Oh, that's just mean.
That is horrible.
See, the passively egg thing, like, they don't get touched by
like Vaseline, so it's like just gross.
Yeah. They might
it's
not
gross
even...
and confusing. It's like, ew, why is it goo on my hand? I don't like mystery goo. That's not good. Ew.
Wouldn't it be funny to put like a condom with like a little bit of hand lotion and water?
No.
And pieces of ham?
No, it's not funny. That's not really funny at all. No, Brian. Brian, that is not funny at all. Sometimes it stays in your pocket.
If there's ham in it, it's
why there's ham in this?
Not without ham. I sometimes if someone thinks it's funny.
Ew, ham.
Oh, it's ham
sperm.
The fat.
Someone's comes ham.
Story that's brewing.
There is I forgot how this happened. It was senior year of college.
I think
then Brian can tell it. Right? Would you? I mean, I could say, go for it.
Nick. Nick was fucking around and being goofy and shit. I got tired of it, and he was making something with like sex jokes and whatever. So I took a condom and I filled it. Well, I put like two pumps of like Dove hand lotion in there.
I remember we had to find the right thing to make it look like
This is an operation.
And then I threw it. Well, then I sneaked it. I sneaked it into Nick's pocket.
So Brian snuck it into my pocket, and then
oh, I remember this story.
I commonly would wear the same jeans like for like a week at a time because it was college, and I didn't care. And my jeans always smelled nice. So I was in a directing class.
Because he farts roses.
That's right. And we were doing like a scene from like Chekhov scene.
You ever smelled.
And I didn't realize that the phantom menace of the condom was still in my pocket. And it fell out. And I didn't know that like during the scene. In class. To which I looked up and saw everyone just pointing at the stage floor. And I was like, what are they pointing at? And then I saw it. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, some of it leaked onto the floor.
Yeah, and like the director, the teacher of class is like, should we contact like the janitor? Like, we, I don't want to touch that. Nobody should have to touch that. And I knew what it was, but I didn't want to say that's mine because it wasn't mine. It was a joke.
It was totally my fault the whole fucking time.
One of the most embarrassing moments of my collegiate
basketball
career.
Fall out of that's your pocket.
No one saw a fall out of my pocket. They just saw a condom with white stuff.
Yeah, best part of it is I heard about it from other people that were in the class. And they were like, yeah, we were thinking about calling in the janitor to like bring it in or like wear some latex gloves or something. And then Makula had to eventually say like, That's from me. It was a prank.
And I sat down very awkwardly.
Could you have explained that?
I tried
not
to.
Really semen.
All well, I said that.
My friend pranked me.
All you had to do was say it was Brian Wool, and they were
Brian
like,
Wool's semen? That doesn't sound any better.
But at least it's not yours.
Wait, who was the teacher?
Alec Wilde.
Yeah, he was like a real director.
A real
like
director.
Someone with talent.
That's why, yeah.
He was really good. He was super. We learned a lot from him.
I didn't have him.
I didn't go to school there.
Boom.
Speaking of that,
Mark and I learned from him.
I grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, you did.
And
City of Lights.
The city, not
the Big Apple.
Town down by the bay.
Home of the Golden Gate Bridge.
And
Mexico City.
Beantown, Chicago.
Check out our mountains.
Where the glaciers never melt.
Beantown, Tucson.
Beantown.
St. Petersburg.
Akron. And...
where civilization began. See the druids.
Wait, what? I don't know. Anyway.
And like Keith, I grew up a Weird Al fan. When I was a kid, my favorite two people in the world were Michael Jackson and Weird Al Yankovic. And I think
great because they did each other shit all the time.
Well, I mean, one did the other more of it. But like, I
bet you Michael Jackson watched Weird Al and was like, yeah.
It's too busy being
I bet
freak.
He hummed Eat It and like freak. Said Eat It instead.
Yeah, like, I found Weird Al through Michael Jackson because I was like, who's this chode doing one of the greatest singers of all? This guy singing a song?
How awesome of Michael Jackson to let him do that.
Too. Yeah, and then I fell in love with Weird Al. And I had all those albums. But, I mean, I just wanted to reiterate Keith's point. My inspiration growing up for wanting to be an actor of any kind was Christian Slater.
From what was the
poor man's before. Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, because he looked like him and he was younger.
Second poor man.
Is it because of Star Trek VI?
As a kid, I was like, well, this is a young guy who looks like Jack Nicholson. So I can't relate to Jack Nicholson because I'm a kid, but this guy's younger. He's closer to me in age. This guy's probably going to grow up to be the next Jack Nicholson because he looks just like him.
Little
did I know, I was so right. So, like, I saw, because I was raised by a single mom, so she made me watch, like romance movies all the fucking time.
Yes.
Queer.
Like, and, yeah, that like,
for
Disney
Red October.
So, like, oh I God. Saw, Bed of Roses was the same thing. I saw Bed of Roses, and I was like, this movie sucks, but Christian Slater is awesome. He's so good. And then he was in Robin Hood, which my mom let me watch, and
Will
he had
Scarlet.
Daggers in that, and that was awesome.
What? Daggers are cool.
He was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, so that was like, I was like, I want to be an actor because Christian Slater. That's and great. Then and then probably for comedy, it was probably Robert Rodriguez. No, Paul Rodriguez, that's his name.
Who's Paul Rodriguez? Was that?
He's a stand-up comedian. He's from El Paso, and I know he's kind of famous. But
does he have, like, curly hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit chubby?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Paul Rod. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he got famous for a little while, but no one really saw him that much.
Well, he did stuff in Spanish and in English.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez is fucking funny. You guys, God, what movies was he in? I'm trying to remember.
He was in some movies, but
He's done a bunch of shit. You've all seen him. He's been in commercials and movies and television shows. He's like...
I don't think that's true.
He's one of those... I'm positive you've seen him in a sitcom...
Yeah, you've probably
one of,
seen him.
He's one of those comedians that is like the guest star that week.
He showed up on every
fucking sitcom as like the landlord here and like the janitor there.
In what decade?
The owner of the store here.
In what decade was he?
He was mostly in late 80s, early 90s. He's still around. But
so what is that? Full House?
It was Home Improvement.
Cosby Show. Home Improvement.
Boom. Hey, now we're in business. Here
like,
we go.
Fucking Step by Step.
Step by Step. Fucking Day by Day.
Fucking is not in
this. I believe it is.
We should record that song. It's like the Dance Band.
Yeah.
Make it better the fucking second time around.
All
right, Gustavo.
What? Is it my turn?
It's not John Candy?
It's not John Candy.
Roseanne?
Everyone says I look and sound like John Candy.
You also play like him.
And I play like John Candy. I just don't get it.
You're like
he's talented.
Candy
I like John Candy a lot.
John Candy's great in Home.
I like him a lot. Yeah. And so it's not hard for me to be upset about it.
I put weights in my sled.
He is great in Cool Runnings.
Pulitzer Prize performance. If Pulitzer's for acting.
Yeah. It's not.
I'd give him a National Children's Literature Award for it.
If it was for
just
acting.
Giving arbitrary awards to people who don't deserve them.
For acting.
I would give him an Eisner Award for acting. Eisner's, as you don't know, are comic book awards.
Nerd fact
no,
number
we
one.
Nerdy.
Yep, I am.
So anyway, I was thinking about this while we were talking. I guess the cliche but true answer I'd have to give, it would be Chris Farley. I mean,
yeah,
I know. There's. I remember seeing Tommy Boy as a kid. I was in the theaters and I was just dying laughing. Just the chemistry that Chris Farley and David Spade have, and the humanity that Chris Farley has while being again like Jim Carrey, silly and ridiculous,
He's
but
very
at the same
vulnerable.
Time,
yeah,
very,
very,
very
vulnerable.
Yes.
with the character's father dying and all that, and then, you know, having a lot of stake in the brake business. But more importantly, just ridiculous physical comedy, which, because I'm very, like, you've met me, my hands are moving wildly when I'm talking.
it's a fun game to secretly mimic as he's
I noticed talking. That you started doing that.
I started doing that. It's a workout and a half, man. It's funny as hell.
I don't know why. That's why I'm a forearms.
Tins is big on the gestures, too.
He is huge on the gestures.
Is it deliberate and yeah, like poignant? And whereas mine are wild and
yours are wild and flailing.
Wild and crazy gestures.
But yeah, that's the kind of guy that made me want to just Lord. That and The Simpsons were fun.
Oh, yeah,
The
Simpsons. Simpsons had a lot of great music too. I loved all The Simpsons.
I probably wouldn't be anywhere.
But I mean, if we're talking humans, I think I'd have to say Chris.
You know what we didn't mention yet was Sandler. Sandler was real big too.
He was after me, really. It's just that he didn't inspire me to do
Sandler,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
Sandler didn't, like...
He's all right.
He's great, but
Sandler also allowed for a lot of those other guys to do what they did.
Right. Like I was more I was more in the Norm MacDonald area. Like I loved how dry,
but Sandler
like
produced, dirty work. But like, Sandler produced a lot of the Norm MacDonald stuff. That's like Sandler made that happen. That was Happy Madison.
Yeah.
Like Sandler made a lot of those dudes.
But that's what I'm saying. I just fell into that a little later. Yeah. So I did like kind of like Norm MacDonald just more and. And then, like, the Will Ferrells and
what? I want to know.
Sandler's fucking album, too. He had a great comedy album.
That's right.
Yeah. Lauren, out of pace.
Lauren, did you have any of these same experiences growing up as a girl?
that's the only difference.
Well,
these, a lot of these are very, like, boy things, you know?
Yeah, I kind of grew up as a tomboy. Like, I loved Star Wars and X-Men, and I hung out with a lot of guys, and I really liked it. You know, I liked Ace Ventura, all the Jim Carrey movies.
What actually inspired me
To be a director and to be, like, into theater and...
About 3,000.
And just anything of, like, the arts of any kind, I guess, was, you're going to make fun of me.
Yes, we will. Yeah. We will.
I was watching Hocus Pocus.
Only Miss Director Bob.
Oh, my God.
So, like, Sarah Jessica Parker, Ben Hogan, and that Hocus? Other one.
That's the movie.
Kathy Najimy. Okay.
The Witch movie. Lauren, this is what this is what turned your life around. I saw that Witch movie.
Other people rescue
and
like a child.
I was never the same.
A cat turned into a handsome young man.
I don't even have enough
don't
references for Hocus Pocus.
Cat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you want to hear? Okay, I was 9 and I was watching this on my TV, and I was really upset that this movie wasn't better.
And I
was like, why didn't she act like this in this scene? Why isn't this could have been much more funnier, you know? Blah blah blah. And I was asking my dad, like, who is in charge of all this stuff in the movie?
Point me in his direction.
And he was like,
who do I call that?
Yeah. And he was like, I guess the director, you know? And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do.
Lauren, I'm going
to
make you a promise right now.
What?
That if we ever get rich and famous, I will produce a reboot of the Hocus Pocus Money.
Yes!
With you on the helm. That is
awesome. We're going to take it back! We're taking it back for the people! Hocus Pocus will be good!
Hey, can I turn into a frog?
I know who directed Hocus Pocus.
What?
It was Gary Marshall.
Oh, you mean Penny, Mrs. or Mr. Penny Marshall?
Marshall's brother.
Oh, I thought they were married.
No, it's a brother.
Because Penny Marshall rules.
Yeah, Penny Marshall does rule. But Gary also didn't he? Did he direct? Or no, he didn't direct League of Their Own. It was Penny that directed League of Their Own.
And she directed Big.
She did Big.
Oh, Big is good.
Yeah. Penny Marshall's fucking awesome. Gary Marshall does nice movies too. But I guess.
Lauren could do better, obviously.
There are probably some missed moments in Hocus Pocus.
That was its problem.
Take that, Gary.
Sorry, Gary.
You have a wonderful career, but Hocus Pocus... I think you might want to look at it again.
Did you say P?
Yep.
You're
gonna
say I liked Hocus Pocus Fine, I guess.
I mean, I liked it. I was watching it. I mean, totally I think I owned it when I was little.
But you really felt like it didn't reach its potential.
Yeah, I really felt it didn't reach
Marcus, its potential. Marcus, where is your inspiration spawn
I think
from?
I had, when I was little, I'd try two big ones. Neither of them were, like, actual humans, necessarily. One, the earliest, was Fozzie Bear.
Yes!
That's a big one of mine.
Yeah.
Good one.
Good call.
My dad would have me, like, do Fozzie Bear jokes for everybody at Thanksgiving. And it was so embarrassing. And, like, it was so embarrassing that the step up was me, like, making a play with my sisters who only ever wanted to do plays where they were princesses. And if you want to try to make an interesting play with two princesses who both have to have problems...
As a child.
Yeah. I was like, I can only save one of you guys, realistically.
Oh, man.
And then the other one, when I was, like, in 7th grade, my dad bought me, having no knowledge of anything of this, he bought me Dogbert's Top Secret Management Handbook on cassette tape.
What?
Like the audio
what is
book.
That?
That's awesome. Dilbert rules.
It's Dilbert's dog.
Yeah, it's Dilbert's dog, who's like an asshole. Constantly, he's just like all about profits and whatever.
Yeah.
And I would just listen to this on repeat because it was like right when I'd be like Dr. Demento, and I was just, and it was so funny to me, but all the things he'd say were just so cynical. And that just warped me as a child, I think. Like, he would have the funniest quotes, but it was all, like, just bizarre similes and stuff. Like, he'd be like, trying to ask your employees for positive, creative ideas is like panning for gold in your own shower.
What?
That's like, because it was four managers, which as a 7th grader, I was not. So it was, like, all lost on me except how much he hated people below him. But, like, I thought it was hilarious at the time, I guess. And I listened to it till the tape broke.
You know, wow. I was never into that sort of thing, but I always had, like, a friend or two throughout my life that was, like, a big Dilbert fan.
I love Dilbert.
What?
That's because I...
Hey, you know what? I did read Dilbert in the
I did.
Yeah. Like, but these guys, like, had books.
Oh, I would
like
never...
Books
I had were Garfield.
Yeah,
I had a lot of Garfield.
I've read like all of them.
Yeah, me too.
I've read all of them. I know everything about John.
That and Charlie Brown. I had a lot of Charlie Brown.
You asked me a
Charlie
question
Brown
about John.
I had some Charlie Brown ones that like
he's such an idiot
that I got from one of my mom's like boyfriends like when I was growing up, and he gave me some old because he was like, "Oh, you like to be funny," and I was like, "Yeah." And he gave me some Charlie Brown ones, and I remember just annoying the hell out of my mom from laughing. And my teachers from laughing because it would be like I would be in class and be like, all right, it's silent reading hour. Well, we would just read silently, and I would always take out my Charlie Brown books, and I would just laugh my ass off, just peanuts.
Yeah.
And my teacher had to be like, Matt, I'm gonna make you read something serious because I don't want you laughing anymore.
I think about the like
a
when
bitch.
I was a kid,
yeah.
I love Charlie Brown, but then I always felt like Charlie Brown, and he would never win.
Yeah.
And I think like that's what I loved when I got Dogbert is I was like, man, I wish I could be so cool. I didn't have to care about anyone. And then I'd go out in my day and be like, no, that was a Charlie Brown day, not a Dogbert day.
What about Calvin and Hobbes?
Oh, Calvin and Hobbes, come on, that's classic.
Yeah, that was big.
I like Farside a lot. Farside's pretty...
Farside.
Yeah. They had the t-shirts. Okay.
They wouldn't have Foxtrot. Remember Foxtrot?
I did read Foxtrot.
I was that's like Get Fuzzy, but that was
I like
more
Get
recent.
Fuzzy, it's recent. I was just thinking about what got me into thinking that I wanted to be a comedian, like specifically, and it was totally all that. Because they were my age.
Yeah, doing all that ruled.
Yeah. And I was like, I am
Keenan Kelly.
I'm the same age as these people. I want to do this.
Yeah. It just made me mad at my mom for not moving to Los Angeles or whatever.
I recently read an article, I think it was in the New York Times. It might have been the Tribune. I'm not sure. But it was about the... It was the Times. It was the New York Times. And it was about the fucking dude that produces all that... He produced Keenan and Kel.
Is all that still on the...
No, it's over now. But he produced Keenan and Kel. He produced iCarly. He produced Zoe 101. It's all the same dude.
Really?
Yeah, I forget his name right now. He's the fat white dude with black hair. It's always kind of in a pompadour.
That one?
Well, no, he is that one that is in all of those series. He'll be the adult in those series. He was King and Kel's boss. That guy was the creator of all of those fucking shows.
Wow.
All those shows ruled. Same fucking dude. And it was in the New York Times just this past week.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I did not know that this was the man behind all these shows. Yeah. This past week.
Two weeks ago.
Fuck. Sorry. Two weeks ago. But yeah, it was.
You get so much tween pussy.
This guy, he came up with some of the most important children's entertainment programming.
Well, just
it's one man.
So maybe that is our one inspiration. All of us have that one.
In a way,
I didn't watch all that. I didn't watch it.
Really?
No. I didn't like it. I didn't think we had Nickelodeon, or I didn't care about Nickelodeon for a brief period.
Yeah.
Give me some Snick.
Yeah, Snick was great.
I hated Nick.
That was Are You Afraid of the Dark? All that. King and Cal. And then it was that cartoon show. It was that cartoon variety show.
Kablam.
Kablam. Yeah.
Kablam rules. Great show. What a clever, fun idea for a cartoon show.
Yeah.
It was way too. It was a sketch show, cartoons. It was great. And then recurring sketches because it was comics.
Prometheus and Bob was my favorite ever.
Yeah. It was always gold. So good.
That is about all the time we have today, but I'm sure these inspirations will crop up a lot more.
Can we go around the circle and say, like, if we can narrow it down to one person?
Yeah, say, like, your very first
even
one.
We have to mention our sponsor.
No, you can include, like, shit.
Yeah.
God, you know, I feel so indebted to our... I feel so indebted to all those people that inspired us. Castelli, do you know how I could resolve any of my debt?
Why, yes, I do, Brian.
How?
If you are in debt and have if you have over $10,000 of credit card debt, you're in luck. You're in luck.
You're in luck.
Because Legal Helper's Debt Resolution is here to help.
Call Legal Helper's DRIGM.
What?
He's doing the translation.
Okay. Never mind. So just call 866-963-2354. Say that you heard about us through Octavarius.
They'll be very confused.
I will be the one answering, okay. So it'll be cool. And they'll be great. Just do
that.
It's Legal Helper. 866-963-2354.
And it's Legal Helper.
Hello,
you're on car.com.
That's right. And
mention Octavarius.
Yeah, we can help.
You'll get the extra special service from our guys at Legal Helpers Debt Resolution.
Too much good stuff.
All right, so let's start with.
I want us to be able to include the biggest, like right now, even most recent influence.
Like a name or
a person,
a thing. Can we do
a thing? Works.
Okay.
I'd say my number one, Bill Murray. Bill Murray, number one.
Cool.
I'm going to say Brian Regan.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Regan's funny.
He's great.
Or doesn't he do that joke about eating the whole sleeve of Fig Newtons?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
I am stuck to the rafters.
Yeah, that's a funny bit, man. I like that. Regan's funny.
Oh, he's great.
Guys, I have this great joke I just thought of about eating a whole sleeve.
What is it, Mark? I'll bite.
I'd probably have to go online comedy. Like Funny or Die or College Humor, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I love that stuff. That's a thing, and that people, they get millions of views, man.
Yeah,
like that's great because that just means I can just not go to LA and just make stupid videos with you guys.
Yeah. I think most recently, my biggest influence has been Tim Minchin. He's a comedian songwriter from Australia. He's brilliant. He's really, really good. It's Tim Minchin, Minchin.
He's really fucking
funny. He's the reason I started writing songs after I stopped. I sort of stopped writing songs when I was a freshman. I did it for a year, and then I stopped.
He's a
and then
Did you play that Blow Me Up song? I listened to him senior
year and started writing all...
The Blow Up Doll song?
Yeah, he has a Blow Up Doll song.
I like that
Inflatable
song.
You. Yeah. He's got a lot of fantastic songs, and he's one of the people that made me think, oh, man, funny songs can also sound awesome. Like,
that's a funny
you have to spend way more time... Yeah, they do that too. Making the song a good song that you don't need to hear the lyrics for or to enjoy, but when you listen to the lyrics and you listen to the whole experience, it's just way funny and cool.
Yeah.
So that's why that's been my main motivation for writing is them and Flight of the Conchords and even the Incredibad CD. It sounds real.
Andy Sandberg and the Lonely Island guys are big influences.
But that, I don't know if they've influenced me as much as I've just loved them. But like I think Tim Minchin is what my biggest influence in writing.
Tins is really influenced by Tim Minchin as well. Tins loves Tim Minchin.
Yeah. He looks like him.
Yeah, he does look like him.
If you want to know what Tim Minchin looks like and you know what Tins looks like, give Tins really long hair.
And vice versa.
Oh, exactly.
And take off his shoes. Tim Minchin doesn't wear shoes. It's weird.
Cooler.
I'd say right now, it'd be Rob Corddry from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Really? Wow.
No, really, because I thought he was hilarious.
He was funny, but he wasn't that guy in the movie like they wanted him to be. He wasn't as good as that.
Rob Corddry's awesome.
Dude. Yeah, Rob Corddry. And he might not be your inspiration, LP, but he's mine, so
right.
I'm going to take
sorry.
Him.
I'm backing off.
But just because he was very... I thought he was really funny and had as a human character, vulnerable and played
the shit
out of that. Had high stakes with it, which was really fun.
Yeah, what fun opposites too! Like he was always
aggressive and like come on guys, and then he'd be like, don't leave me.
But he was the biggest loser.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun to watch.
Wink.
Yeah.
Wink.
I'd say right now, I'd probably go like Stephen Colbert, or no, you know what? I'd do Tina Fey because she does. There's because 30 Rock is so it's very human, and like all the people in it are hilarious. But they have such like real problems, and I think it's really interesting that she's not only like she's acting in it, she's writing it, and she's like the creative head behind so much going on in the show. And I think that's really impressive.
Well, she has writers now, right?
She has a bunch of writers, yeah. But she's still
she's the.
And so I think that's really cool, and she does such a great job with it. Like, you know, every episode, that's pretty commendable.
Yeah, she's real funny.
Lauren,
I'm sure Lauren would say something. But
she had to go.
She has work in the morning.
Twilight is
Lauren's biggest inspiration is Twilight.
That scene in Twilight specifically where Jesse McCartney is a vampire.
Because it could have been better.
who's lighting a menorah.
Yeah.
That is the Lauren's inspiration.
Hey, Mark, if someone of our listeners wanted to write in, where would they go?
Oh, you should go to octavarius.com, octavarius.com. And click the contact thing in the top navigation bar or write to info@octavarius.com.
Do you spell it out because of kids who might be listening? Can't.
Well, some people do I-O-U-S.
Oh, that's true.
But it's I-U-S like a Stradivarius violin.
Like most kids play, yeah.
We are akin to
I-O-U-S. It's an eight-necked Stradivarius violin. That's our alternate logo.
That could be the title of the next
It's a bow with like muscle intentions. Just on the actual bow.
So if you have a great question for a future podcast, please write in.
Much like Amy said, it's a great question. Great. It's like she's in the same room with us.
It's like she's here.
Thank you, Amy Sarah from Park Ridge, Illinois. And thank you, everyone who listened today. Come back next Monday. Same Octa time, same Octa iTunes subscription. Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye! Bye.